life to preach this series of messages, and I have. And I'm going to preach it loud and proud. I'm going to preach it like Jesus sent me up here to preach it, because he certainly did. We are going to preach on the topic of women pastors and women in ministry and women in leadership. Now, what I can commit to you and what I can tell you is that I will not get off of the Word of God. But there are things that most of the time when people, there are two places in the New Testament where it speaks about women, and that is where there that has become an age-old controversy from the beginning of time. But there are so many supporting verses and supporting documentation written in the Word of God that promote and encourage and declare that women are in ministry. And we're going to bring you to that place. How many of you have ever heard that women should not preach? How many of you have ever heard that women should not lead? This is not an anti-men service. And this is not an anti-man church. Daddy, I want you to stand up. Brother Sam, I'd like you to stand up. Brother Larry, I'd like you to stand up. I'm going to introduce these people for what they are in this ministry. This is the founding pastor. The church would not be here if it was not for him. He founded the ministry after instruction from the Lord. Brother Sam has two roles in this church. He is the minister of pastoral care. He is a pastor in this ministry. He is also a deacon and has served in that deaconship. Sam, how many years? Over 30 years. Brother Larry is an elder in this ministry. These are men. Okay? This is not an anti-man church, but it is also a woman church as well. And we're going to go over that today. So, what I can tell you is this right here. I hate preaching messages like this because I want to, to me, I'm over this. Okay? I'm over it. But because society is not over it, I have to come back and address things that should already be known. Because anybody that will get into their Word and research it and read it and study it, you will see very clearly that women have a place in ministry, that they have a place in leadership. And it's only people that do not read their Word, that do not study their Word, it's only those people that think that that's not so. And for those people, they could be watching, they could be a number of things. We're going to go over those verses today. So many of the disagreements over roles of women in church leadership is frequently based on misunderstandings because of the original languages and the culture context. When the Word of God has been translated so many times, how many of you know that the Word of there's so many different versions of the Bible that you don't know which one to get because it's very confusing. Okay, there's actually religions and denominations, they have added books that they shouldn't have, and there's things in there that God never inspired. And so because of a loss of verbiage and translation loss, there's things in here that are not very clear. There are times where you can read the Bible, and then you can read it in one spot, and it'll say something, and then you can go over to another place in the Bible, and you almost feel like it's contradicting itself. And that's why in the Word, and we went over this verse last week when I took you to the place where it said, we should not argue about words because arguments have no value. Us believers, the last thing on the planet that we should be arguing at, especially in this time, in this day, in this place, we should not argue about stupid things like, can women be in ministry? Do you know that people are suffering right now as we believers argue about silly things all over the nation? We should have something better to talk about than this. We should. But because society, religion, you know, there are modern day Pharisees. And Pharisees are people that are very legalic and very religious. And religion will tell you you can't come into church unless you have a long sleeve shirt on. Women can't wear makeup. All these, see, man-made rules. Now, women, this isn't in the Bible, but I don't think God's going to send you to hell over wearing your makeup. I'm sorry. And as your pastor, I'm going to encourage you, paint that face up as much as you want to. Okay? Please. We should not be arguing about stuff like this. Please don't argue with people I don't care what they're, I don't care. We don't need to be arguing. Also, there's things that we have to understand that in the Bible times, the culture was very different. Cultural. There's a lot of cultural changes. We cannot pull an Abraham in this day right now and say, okay, I believe that God told me to sacrifice my son. I'm going to make some, I'm going to make an altar and I'm going to sacrifice him right here. You can't get away with that stuff. There were some things back in culture that are different today. Now, there are two verses in the New Testament that are often referenced when addressing the topic of whether or not women should preach and whether or not women should be in leadership. There's only two verses. We're going to go to those verses today. At a glance, it looks like Paul is saying that women can't lead, that women can't be in ministry, that women can't preach. And this is not what he's saying. These are letters in these two places, in Corinthians and in Timothy. Paul is writing to these specific churches because there were problems in these specific churches. These were letters. And he was writing them to the Corinthian people, and he was writing them to Timothy. Timothy had a church in Ephesus, and Ephesus had a huge problem with a false goddess that they were all worshiping, and that goddess's name was Artemis, and in modern day, Diana. And in Ephesus, there was an enormous problem with false teaching and worshiping this god. And because of those problems, Paul had to address specific issues in these two churches. And in those churches, there was women and they were stepping out of line. There were also men and they were stepping out of line also, and he addresses them as well. I'm so glad I get to preach this message after 40 years, and I hope this isn't offending you. But let me tell you something. I'm offended that people have nothing better to do than to tell baby Christians and new converts that their pastor is sending them to hell because they're a woman. The Word of God says that people, it would be better for people to tie a noose around their neck than to hurt one of the little ones. But yet I've had people come to me with tears in their eyes and asking me if they're on their way to hell because I'm their pastor. How many of you know who God's going to address about that on Judgment Day? It's not going to be me. People are killing themselves because they're in such a depression. And here people are supposed to be Christians, and we're talking about women preachers. This is not a message about getting you to believe in women preachers or not. Clearly you do, or you wouldn't be here. Praise the Lord. There's two verses that address women. And this is Paul, and these are letters that he has written. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 7, and we're going to dissect these verses. I'm not going to chase squirrels today. I'm going to stay right on topic because I've got a lot of verses because I want to pinpoint this out in the Word of God because, see, I don't ever want to preach this again. But I feel very led to preach it because God has put it on my heart so heavy that until I get it out, it's going to stay there. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. And here is Paul, and he is addressing Timothy. Once again, Timothy has a church in Ephesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. This is why God chose me to be a preacher and an apostle of the good news. And I want to point out here that Paul is absolutely correct. God did choose him, and God chooses his preachers. God chooses his pastors. And I can tell you, if you ever think that you want to be a pastor and you try that out and God did not call you to do that, it will kill you. You will die of fear. You will die of worry. You will die of anxiety. You'll probably have a heart attack and need to go to the hospital. Why? Because this is not for the faint of heart. If I was just not God called, I would have had to quit because the pressure that pastors are under is enormous and it's on a daily basis. And he says, I am telling the truth. I am not lying. God sent me to teach the Gentiles about faith and truth. Now, let's go to verse 8. I want you to keep in mind that this is a letter. Now, I'm going to also say here, we are not going off of, I'm not stepping outside of the Bible in this verse. If this offends you and you don't agree, it's okay to not agree. Here's the problem in churches, and I'm going to put this out there because, see, my job is to teach you. You will get offended in church. Can you understand that? How many of you have ever been offended about something about church? Raise your hand. I've got both of my hands up because I'm offended all the time about something. You will become offended in church. Now here's where the devil comes in. The devil comes in and wants to tell people, well, you got offended there, so it's time to leave. If you left every church that you got offended, you'd have to go to another town, because every time that something don't just sit right with you and you don't agree about something, that doesn't mean it's time to leave. That means, you know what? It's okay to agree to disagree. Now, I'm going to preach the Word of God as God has shown it to me. If you don't agree, that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to agree with it. If this chaps every catfish in the Arkansas River, that's okay. I'll go to fishing for perch. Okay? Verse 8. Here's Paul. This is a letter specifically to this church, to Paul. And here he says, I want everyone, everywhere, to lift up innocent hands toward heaven and pray. I'm going to stop there. In another translation, it says, I would that men everywhere would lift up holy hands. Why was he addressing this to people? Because there was a lot of problems in this church. And I'm going to tell you, the same remains the same today. Any church that is active and that they have people in there on a weekly basis, every single church, I don't care what you think of that church, there's problems in the church. Every church. Every church has its own set of issues. Why? Because people have to constantly work it out, and your pastors have to work some things out with you. There's problems in churches. That don't mean don't go to church. That means, you know what? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So it says, I want everyone everywhere to lift up innocent hands toward heaven and pray without being angry or arguing with each other. Now, why does Paul point this out without being angry and without arguing with each other? Paul is saying specific problems. This is a letter. These are specific problems in this church. There was an issue. Everyone was arguing. People were angry and they could not get along. And he is addressing that. They were also having much problems in this specific church with false teachings. With false teachings. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. I would like for women to wear modest and sensible clothes. Do we see? I want and I would like. This is Paul. This is Paul. Now, this says, I would like for women to wear modest and sensible clothes. Now, Paul is saying this is his preference. Guess what? It's mine also. I share that opinion and belief that Paul does. How many of you would have a lot of trouble concentrating if you were in here and I was wearing a bikini? That might be just a little distracting, and I promise you it would be a little disturbing, okay? I ain't 20 years old anymore, and I don't look like it. Years ago, we had a woman up here, and she would sing. Dad's sitting there going, yeah, Daddy, we're going to spill them beans because people need to understand ministry. They need to understand what we've had to go through. And then when people want to talk about us that we're terrible, it's because we've had to address the obvious that people should not do. I kid you not. Now, this is probably as short as I'm going to go in my attire because we in church, okay? Now, I wear different things for Frank. Why? He's my husband, and that's all good with us, okay? Now, no joke, there was a woman way back years ago. Jimmy, if I'm lying, I'm dying. And I'm a very liberal pastor, okay? Her skirt did not even cover her crotch. Daddy, am I lying or not? She also did not wear full rear-end underwear. Use your imagination about what I'm talking about. Now, that was a distraction. And guess what he had to do? And thank God he was the pastor at the time and not me. Because see, I get uncomfortable when I have to tell people the obvious. He said, Sister so-and-so, you cannot wear that and get on the stage. Guess what he became? The devil to her. Guess what she did, and she still does to this day? Talks bad about him. We in ministry have enough to deal with. And he said, if you get on that stage, this is about God and the things that go on in ministry and in church. When we come and gather together, it should not be about us. And you should not wear something so distracting that that's the only thing people can think about. And he had to tell her, if you're going to get on the stage, all of your bits have to be covered. These bits, this bit, and this bit. The three B's. Okay? I would like for women to wear modest and sensible clothes. They should not have fancy hairdos or wear expensive clothes or put on jewelry made of gold or pearls. Now, if you literally wanted to dissect, and I'm saying this because there's people, and they have taken these two verses, and they have grossly taken them out of context and out of culture, and they've made every single woman in leadership and in ministry feel bad, and then that ignorance is repeated to where new baby Christians, they don't know if they're coming to going to hell or what if they got a woman pastor. That shouldn't be. Now, this was once again a problem in this specific church. But how many of you know and your common sense tells you, you need to be covered when you're in church? Praise God, because all of y'all got common sense. I'm not going to have that talk with y'all. Okay? Now, it says women shouldn't have fancy hairdos. I don't believe that God is upset if your hair is fancier one Sunday than the other. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. But for this church, they were having major issues, and the women were a distraction all the time. I also don't think, Sherry, God cares if you spent $10 on that dress or $20. But you know what you shouldn't do? You shouldn't go and live your life in debt and run yourself to the poorhouse because you can't control your spending and all your clothes are expensive, but Kimber's over here starving to death. Okay? Now, I hate to have to tell this stuff because, see, this should be the elementary things. But because of our society and them not reading the Bible in full, good pastors have to review this stuff because, hey, this is important. How many of you have any gold jewelry on today or pearls? Guess what? God's not mad at you. Verse 10. Women who claim to love God should do helpful things for others, and they should learn by being quiet and paying attention. Verse 12. They should be silent and not be allowed to teach or tell men what to do. Men, if you ever want a verse to bring up to your wife, here you go. How many of you men wish the women would not tell you what to do so much? There you go. They should be silent and not be allowed to teach or tell men what to do. In another translation, it says a woman should learn in quietness and full submission. And here we are again. And he says, I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. She must be silent. This is Paul. This is a letter. And he says, I do not permit problems in this specific church. And I'm going to go over some history in this church. And it says, and they should learn by being quiet and paying attention. They should be silent and not be allowed to teach or tell a man what to do. In other writings from Paul, it's clear that he affirmed women in ministry positions. I'm going to repeat that. In other books of the Bible, in other letters, he affirmed them, he approved them, he spoke to them, he called them his fellow yoke men, he called them his associates. We're going to look at those verses. But in these two places, he specifically calls out, and if you read them, he was calling out the men for doing what they were doing, and that was wrong. And then he was calling out the women for being a distraction and doing the things that they were doing that was wrong. And it says, in other writings from Paul, it's clear that he affirmed women in ministry positions. So what is he saying in this specific passage? He is speaking and addressing about a type of order here as well, because they were having trouble in the areas that he mentions. We're going to dig some deeper. Paul is writing to Timothy, who is leading the church in Ephesus. This specific city had a large temple dedicated to the goddess of Artemis. If you want to refer to this, this is why he was speaking to women here. Here's your reference verses. Acts chapter 19, verses 21. You can start there. And that's going to be all about, there was a huge riot in Ephesus, and Paul got wrapped up in that. And it was all over this goddess. There were false teachings. Most of the false teachers that were teaching this about this goddess Artemis were women. This specific Ephesus was considered a matriarchal society that challenged the traditional family structure. How many of you know that there are still things today that challenge the traditional family structure? This month is Gay Pride Month. How many of you know, and I'm not even going to get on that. How many of you know that there are still things in our society that challenge the traditional family structure, the family structure that God put in order? That is what Paul is talking about. He was not wanting this church to be in the filth that they were in with the women and all this nonsense with getting wrapped up in worshiping this goddess of Artemis. And that's what was happening. And the men were arguing. There was false teaching. It was a mess. Every church has their own flavor of mess, okay? I'm going to leave that with you. This specific city, Ephesus, was the center for worshiping this goddess. They believed that her image fell from heaven. And in fact, most of the religious teachers in that city were women. And they were false teachers. And once again, for your own reference, in your own study, you can refer to Acts chapter 19 for that. One of the things that this specific group of false teachers were teaching was they were teaching that the woman was created first and that Adam was the one that took the first bite. That's incorrect. And that is why Paul felt the need to address this city and to address this church in this city, is because that was what was going on. Now, let me continue on to these verses. It says, after all, Adam was created before Eve, And the man, Adam, was not the one who was fooled. It was the woman, Eve, who was completely fooled and sinned. But women will be saved by having children if they stay faithful, loving, holy, and modest. At first, when I read this verse, I thought that it was strange that here we're talking about the men and their screw-ups, and then we're talking about the women and their screw-ups, and then all of a sudden, just out of the blue, he starts talking about Adam and Eve. And I thought, why did he do that? And it was because these false teachers were preaching that incorrectly. Adam was created first. Eve is the one that took the bite. That is why he was talking about this. Now, I'm going to dissect this verse for us a little bit better, because there it means some things in Greek. There's also Hebrew that it means some things. We're going to go over some of those words. Learn quietly. It says that the women should learn quietly. Here's what that means. That word in the Greek is hesia. And it means to live a life that does not meddle in the affairs of others, where they have inner peace and inner silence. It does not mean women can come to church, but by golly, they better keep their mouth shut. It does not mean that. It doesn't mean that. Much has been lost as the Bibles have been translated. And we have to understand the difference between a letter and a book. In all submissiveness, once again, Greek word, hypotage, which means obedient. Obedient. Women, I went over this last Sunday. Do not marry an idiot, and you won't have an idiot. It's that simple. Because there's a certain order that God puts on marriage where there is a submissiveness that has to be there. There's things, very few things, but there have been things in my marriage that Frank has said, we are not doing that. And at the time, I didn't like it. But I have enough respect for him that I just take his word for it, that he knows best. Every time I've stepped out of that and didn't listen, I regretted it. Because exactly what he said happened, and I didn't think it would, and it did. Don't marry somebody that you can't follow. Because God does expect a certain order. But God is also not sitting there thinking that women should shut up and never speak. Furthermore, the word teach here, the Greek for that is didasko, and it means to discharge the office of a teacher, conduct oneself as a teacher. This makes a lot of sense considering that there were women in the city who were false teachers, and they were teaching the theology about this specific goddess. Now, that's the first place that it addresses women. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at chapter 14. And we're going to look at verses 34 through 35. Now, how many of you understand that when we are talking about church, in church services, there has to be order in the church? It cannot just be a chaotic free-for-all mess where everybody's doing their own thing. Okay. Paul planted these churches, and he helped start them, and he helped them. And because these churches were all over the place, those churches, just depending on the culture where they were and the flavor for where they were, he had to address certain problems. Now, in this church, they were having a problem with disorder. And one of the areas where they were having trouble with disorder is the worship and the speaking in tongues. Now, this was asked to me a while back. Pastor Kelly, is Parish Christian Center a place where the Holy Spirit is? Yes, it is. Do people speak in tongues there? Yes, they do. How many of you who speak in tongues, raise your hand, please. Okay, great. There is nothing wrong with speaking in tongues. Okay, Paul was addressing an order. Would I love for people to come up and travail in the Holy Spirit and everything? Yes, I would. I can't make people do that. Somebody said, well, it was said that you told people to stop praying in tongues. I have never said that. And if you pray in tongues, I want you to pray in tongues, and I want you to get your right up in here, and I want you to pray and intercede as you should if you're an intercessor. But see, people get blamed for things that they never said. And if you take the things in this Word of God out of context, you can either heal with the Word of God or you can kill with the Word of God, but you cannot do both. And if you're going to be somebody that thinks that you know enough about the Word of God to preach, you better be on your A game. I don't get up here and preach about things I don't know about, because it's a matter of life and death for you. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he is addressing the order of how worship should be, and specifically speaking in tongues. Verse 34, the women must not be allowed to speak. They must keep quiet and listen, as the law of Moses teaches. If there is something that they want to know, they can ask their husbands when they get home, because it is disgraceful for women to speak in church. How many of you know that we are not under the law of Moses? We are not. I'm going to take you to two places in the Bible that tells you that we're not. Now, people read this and they use it as a case for women to be silent in church. But in the context that Paul is addressing here in this Corinthian to the Corinthians, he was calling for those who speak in tongues and for those who prophesy to do so in an orderly fashion, because it was not orderly. How many of you know you can't have a bunch of disorder in church? Have you ever heard me say, I invite you to be completely present, please turn off your cell phone? How many of you understand? If this was a free-for-all and I never said, turn your cell phone off, none of you could get any of the Word of God, because our cell phones would be a complete distraction. If all of the women here wore their tube tops and their bikinis, we would all be very distracted and scared. Okay? How many of you ever heard me say, if you have a child that becomes restless and they're restless, that's my little nice word for interruption, take them to the nursery. If I didn't say that, y'all wouldn't get anything out of it. There are specific problems in this specific church, and I address those as nicely as I can. Now, I did not found this ministry. Dad did. And I guarantee you, back when he founded it, he had to be a lot meaner than me, because he was the one that pioneered it. And there were things that he had to say. I remember one time, our church was on the square many years ago, and there was a very famous minister there or whatever, and he said, look, this is Arkansas, and you cannot drag this service out till 2 or 3 in the morning. That stuff don't roll here. Well, the guy did. How many of you want to be here till 3 in the morning? I really don't. Now, if the Holy Spirit's moving, I mean, okay, but we can't do that every... This is where I'm going to get crucified, but Tanya, I have to rest. So the guy gets up there, and we have like a 2 or 3 day revival, and he does exactly what Dad asked him not to do. What does Dad do? He says, look, bud, I don't care that you're famous. This is Arkansas, and this is the church that I'm responsible for. You're going to do what I asked you to do under the guidelines that I asked you to do it, or you don't have to have a 3 day revival. We're going to limit this to 1, and this is it. He actually went on the stage and shut the volume off. Because, see, back in the day, he was like the Lone Ranger, and he had to do everything by himself. And I refuse to do everything by myself, because if I do, I'm going to rob y'all of a blessing. But there has to be order. And Paul was addressing some disorder in this specific church. Now, why is he saying this? Some women, how many of you know, and you've ever been in a position of leadership or you've ever worked with a bunch of people, and every time your boss got up there and said something that you thought was outrageous, you actually knew it was because somebody did what they said and that's why they were having to say it? I have to say stuff on Wednesday in our food distribution all the time, and people are looking at me like I have three heads, and I have to say these things because people were doing what I said. If they weren't doing it, I wouldn't say it. One time, we had a guy in our line, this is no joke, and he was in our food line trying to, he hit a hog, okay? And then he butchered it himself, which is questionable. And then he decided to get in the food line and to start asking people in the food line if they wanted to buy that hog off of him. And so help me God, by the time that people rolled up and got their food, they were asking how many pieces of the hog they were getting because they heard we were giving hog away. You know what I did? I marched my gorgeous self up to that guy, rolled his window down and said, look, don't come down here and start selling your hog that you hit this morning. Because you've got confusion over here on my end and people are thinking I'm giving hog away and I'm not. Now, I know I'm outrageous, but it's because I've had to deal with the outrageous. If I'm ever edgy, you can bet I've just had to put somebody right in their place and it's very uncomfortable. This is exactly what Paul had to do. And he wasn't mentioning things they weren't having trouble with. He gets right to the point. Some women were likely being disrespectful within the church and asking questions that disrupted the orderly worship. The word speak here in this verse is used when addressing prophecies and tongues. Look that up for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. The word speak here in the Greek, when it's used, addressing prophecies and tongues earlier in the chapter. In both references, it specifically mentions more than one person attempting to speak at one time. How many of you know that if I was up here preaching and everybody was in the pew and they were all talking, that would be a distraction? My dad, I've grown up with him doing this. He wouldn't put up with that stuff. There would be people and they would come in here and they would try to have conversations while he was preaching. He would go right up to them. He'd have the microphone and he would put it in their face. And he would say, you or I can preach, but we can't both preach at the same time. In 6 years, now I have a nice, pretty, see, if pretty don't get it, ugly's on the way. And I don't, he's very handsome. If sweet don't get you, I'll send more firm daddy, and that'll take care of it. One time in 6 years, Jimmy, only once. Man, my dad used to have to do this on a weekly basis. One time in 6 years, somebody was sitting right where Brad was sitting, and they kept talking so loud. Because they were high on pain pills. And about 30 minutes into the message that nobody got anything out of, I finally addressed it from the pulpit. And I've done that one time in 6 years. But you have to have order. Okay. So since it's the same word in the same passage, we can conclude that it means the same thing. More than one woman was talking. Some commentators believe that women were talking amongst themselves during the service and causing a distraction. Now, I hate to tell you, women, but if y'all start talking in my service and you won't be quiet, eventually I'm going to say, all of the chatty Kathys in here, be quiet. I've got one Kathy, Sammy's grandma, and I love her, and she never hardly ever speaks. But you get my drift. Amen. Paul is calling out the lack of order and not women speaking in the church. And I hope that you can see that. And if you can't, research this. Take these verses home. If you want this whole message, I'll print one off for you. But you need to research this for yourself. We know that Paul was an advocate for women in such roles because he addresses these women multiple times. In two places, he talks about women, but there's a multitude of verses that we're going to go over where he addresses women, and he addresses them because they were deacons, prophets, apostles, pastors, prophets, all sorts of things, okay? Once again, this verse gives more light. It says, and it refers to the law of Moses. We're not under the law of Moses. Go with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. You're not under law, you're under grace. Now, we were under law before Christ came, and we were under an old covenant that nobody could be good enough for. But the moment that Christ came and died for us, we were no longer under an old covenant, and we were no longer under law. What we're under now is grace. Grace. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 23 through 29. The law controlled us and kept us under its power until the time came when we would have faith. In fact, the law was to be our teacher until Christ came. Then we could have faith and be acceptable to God. Verse 25, but once a person has learned to have faith, there is no more need to have the law as a teacher. Verse 26, this is talking about the equality that we have in salvation. All of you are God's children because of your faith in Christ Jesus. And when you were baptized, it was as though you had put on Christ in the same way that you put on new clothes. Verse 28, faith in Christ Jesus is what makes each of you equal with each other. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. I'm going to say that one more time. Faith in Christ is what makes you equal with each other. Faith in Christ is what makes you equal with each other. Faith. Is there an order that God ordained in marriage? Yes, there is. Should the man be the head of the household? Yes, he should. Women, if you married a moron, don't go in the ditch with him, okay? I don't have a pretty way to say some of these things. And the plainer I say them, the more I'm going to help you. Faith in Jesus is what makes us equal with each other. Whether you are a Jew or a Greek, a slave or a free person, oh my goodness, a man or a woman. A man or a woman. So if you belong to Christ, you are now part of Abraham's family, and you will be given what God has promised. Now let's take a look at some places in the Word of God that celebrate women in their leadership roles. I'm going to go over some, and then some of them we're going to actually go to in the Word of God. I'm going to give you, if you've got your little pen and paper, you can write down some of these verses, because see, there's not time enough in this service to go to every verse, and I didn't even get to write them all down. The Word of God is full of supporting accounts and documentation of women in ministry, women in leadership. It's full of them. Deborah was the only female judge mentioned in the Bible. She was also a prophetess. That's found in Judges chapter 4, if you're taking notes. Jael was a war victor that defeated Sisera under the leadership of Deborah, who was a judge and a prophetess, and she was also a female. She was in a war, and one of the guys told her something. She said, yeah, I can do that. Deborah said, yeah, I can do that, but a woman will get the credit for this. Guess what? A woman got the credit for it. Huldah was a prophetess. Miriam was the first woman in the Bible to be called a prophetess, and that is found in Exodus chapter 15, verse 20. Now, these three women had churches in their home. Chloe, Nympha, and Apphia, all of them had churches in their home. In their home. How did churches begin way back in the day? In people's homes. Three women in the Word of God had churches in their homes. And the Bible doesn't cover them up with a man. It says these women had these churches in their home. Now, Anna was a prophetess in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. And she actually waited for Christ to be born. And then she died because she was waiting for him. She was 84 years old. Now, let's actually go to some places that are very meaty for you. Romans chapter 16, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. This is Paul, the same guy that was talking to the Corinthians, and then the same guy that was talking to the church in Ephesus, same guy. And guess what he's doing with this church? Commending them. Guess what he's going to do more? He's going to call out some women and he's going to commend them because they were in ministry. I have good things to say about Phoebe, who's a woman, who is a leader. Now, some of you on the word leader, you're going to see a little letter. And if you look down on the bottom of your Bible, it's going to say deaconess because Phoebe was a deacon. We have one woman deacon in this church, and that's Mary McFarland. And she has been a deacon here since I was a kid. So Phoebe was a deacon who is a leader in the church at Centurae. Welcome her in a way that is proper for someone who has faith in the Lord and is one of God's own people. And then he says this, help her in any way that you can. After all, she has proved to be a respected leader for many others, including me. See, people think that Paul was a woman hater, and he wasn't. But he did have to address the women that were acting up, just like he addressed the men that were acting up. Now, let's go to, we're just strolling right along here in Romans. Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 5. We're going to look at a woman pastor that co-pastored with her husband. Give my greetings to Priscilla, female, and Aquila, male. They have not only served Christ Jesus together with me, but they have even risked their lives for me. And I am grateful for them. And so are all the Gentile churches. Verse 5, greet the church that meets in their home. This couple, there's another verse I'm going to take you to here in a minute where it talks about them and what they did for Apollos. But these people, this couple, co-pastored a church in their home. And he doesn't leave off Priscilla. He mentions her. Why? Because she had earned his respect. Because she had risked her life along with her husband for Paul and to help Paul. You know, women in ministry have to work a whole lot harder. Just take to point that out. They have to work a whole lot harder. And it's not easy to do. Romans chapter 16, verse 7. Greet Andronicus and Junius, Junius is a female here, okay? My relatives who have been in prison with me. I never knew that there was a female in prison with Paul, but there was. They have been in prison with me, and they are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Now, when you study this word among in verse 7, what you're going to see is among the apostles in translation is interpreted as meaning she was an apostle herself. Junius was a female apostle, and she was imprisoned with Paul. See, don't tell me women can't be in ministry. They can. Let's go to Romans chapter 16, verse 12. Paul names off around 35 people, and a lot of these people were women that were helping him in ministry. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who work hard for the Lord. Those are both women. Greet my dear friend Persis, once again, a woman. She also works hard for the Lord. Let's go to Romans chapter 16, verse 15. Go down just a couple of verses. Greet Philologus, Julia, female, Nereus and his sister, female, and Olympus and all the saints with them. He's saying, greet these people. They've been through a lot for the sake of Christ. They've helped me. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 18, verse 26. We're going to talk again about Priscilla and Aquila. This is the couple that co-pastored this church in their home. There's another verse in the Bible, and it's Paul, and he's saying, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. That's why I don't ever take credit for anything good that happens in the ministry. Acts chapter 18, verse 26. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 24. A Jewish man named Apollos came to Ephesus. Apollos had been born in the city of Alexandria. He was a very good speaker, and he knew a lot about the Scriptures. He also knew much about the Lord's way, and he spoke about it with great excitement. What he taught about Jesus was right, but all that he knew was John's message about baptism. Verse 26, Apollos started speaking bravely in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila, here is this couple again, that had this church in their home that they both pastored, they took him to their home and helped him to understand God's way even better. They began to mentor Apollos. They both did that, and they helped him to understand the bigger message of Christ, not just about John's message about baptism. Okay, now, let's go to Acts chapter 21. We're going to read verses 7 through 9. Here's Paul again. And he was going to Jerusalem, and he says, we sailed from Tyre to Ptolemais, where we greeted the followers and stayed with them for a few days. The next day we went to Caesarea and stayed with Philip. Philip was the preacher. He was one of the seven men who helped the apostles, verse 9. And he had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Four women prophesied. These four women were Philip's daughters. Philip was a preacher. They were prophets. If this wasn't relevant, the Bible wouldn't say, and they were prophets. Over and over and over and over again, the Word of God affirms women. Now, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Now, once again, problems in churches. Here we see it. Paul is addressing the people of Philippi. And he says, therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Verse 2. I plead with Eudia, female, and I plead with Syntyche, female, to agree with each other in the Lord. What was happening in this church? Two of the female leaders in this church were in an argument. And he says, I am pleading with you to get along. How many of you know that sometimes in leadership, leadership doesn't always see eye to eye? I can tell you this, it doesn't happen very often. In the beginning, it happened more often. There were times that Dad and I did not agree about certain things and how to do them. Didn't we, Daddy? You're not always going to agree. And here's what Dad would say, Kelly, what do you really feel God is directing? And I would tell him. Multiple times he said, Kelly, we're going to do it that way. Every time, God blessed it. Let me tell you something. You can tell a man or a woman of God, it's like garlic. You can tell, you can spot them. Why? Because the anointing and favor of God will be on their life. If God wasn't into this, he wouldn't bless it. Multiple times we've disagreed. There have been multiple times where I've had to go to him and say, you were right. Let's do it your way. These two women in this specific church were leaders, and they were in a disagreement, and it was affecting the whole church community. You can't have leaders biting each other's heads off. You can't have that. You got to have unity in your leadership. Y'all get that? Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow. Yoke fellow here means partner and associate sharing the same task as Paul. This is an example that disputes and arguments happen at times among leadership in the church and that it should be handled in a godly manner. All churches have this from time to time. Go with me to Colossians chapter 4, verse 15. I spoke of three women that had churches in their home. We're going to look at Nympha here. This is Paul once again. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. Okay? Go with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 through 15. Second Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 through 15. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them about quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. While us believers argue about these silly things, we are ruining everyone around us. We are making sinners wonder why they should be saved. If the Christians are arguing about silly stuff, like women in ministry, or about long hair, or about wearing skirts and dresses. See, if we're arguing about that stuff, that's very unappealing. Okay? Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. In another translation, it says here, one that rightly divides the word of truth. You can take the Bible out of context and you can take it out of culture and you can do a lot of harm. You can do a lot of harm. I had a deacon for 5 years that went behind my back time after time after time. This is unpleasant to speak of from the pulpit, but I'm going to address it because God told me to. And for 5 years went around and told all the baby Christians that the pastor here, me, was of the devil because I was a woman. That deacon is no longer here. I didn't kick him out of the church, but I did give him an option. And here was the option. You either shut your mouth and you help me build this church and you stay in your anointing as a deacon, or you step down as a deacon, but you will not stay here and be doing this, because there are souls that could be lost by stupidity. That's all I'm going to harp on that topic. We've got 3 minutes and I'm using them. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 through 21. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams, even on my servants, both men and women. Both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. Last place for me this morning, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 19. That's one of my male pastors back there. And I want to point out that 2/3 of the pastors in this church are men. Okay? Mark chapter 16, 15 through 19. He said to them, this is Jesus. This is where many refer to. This is also in the book of Matthew, but I chose Mark to say it instead. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 19, the Great Commission. This is what Jesus is telling us to do. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. That's talking about the Holy Spirit, and He's welcome here. And that's also talking about speaking in tongues, and that's also welcome here. They will pick up snakes with their hands. Now, this is also grossly taken out of context. There are religions that think that, Brother Larry, isn't this stupid? There's religions that think it's a great idea to go and get snakes and make a religion out of handling them. That's stupidity. Okay? Don't do that. Because the Bible is not saying that. The Bible's saying it's not going to harm them, but that don't mean you need to do it. Because it says here, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. And they will get well. That concludes my message and my series on women in ministry. If this has in any way offended you, I'm not going to apologize, because you have the ability and we can agree to disagree. But when I have people who are baby Christians coming to me and asking me with tears in their eyes, and I'm not saying that this has happened multiple times. God wants me to address it. Y'all stand to your feet. We're going to be ministering this evening, and it's not going to be about women preachers. Going to be on something more pleasant, and I'll be ministering. We hope to see you at 5:30. We also have goodies